I'm Matthew McCabe. Welcome to Miracle Voices. Each episode, we will be delving into stories of forgiveness, healing, and transformation that have come about from integrating the principles of the book, A Course in Miracles. If you want to learn more about A Course in Miracles, visit www.acim.org. If you'd like to visit the Miracle Voices site, please go to www.miraclevoices.org. If you feel inspired to make a love offering, please visit us at miraclevoices.org/donate. All donations go to support the work of the Foundation for Inner Peace, the publisher of A Course in Miracles. Now here's your program. Hello, Miracle Voices. Hello, Miracle
Voices. This is going to be one of those outtake blips.
Yeah. Please, you know, try again.
People will come in on later. Hello, miracles. How about that?
Yeah.
Hello, Miracle Voices listeners. This is Matthew McCabe. Welcome to another edition of Miracle Voices. We've kind of got a special edition here for you, Tam and I. Tam, what's it going to be about?
I don't like to label things until they happen. And okay. I look back. Say, that's
very
what
very unspecial, very, very orthodox.
Yeah, very. It's really about, I think, the recognition of the presence of spirit throughout anything. And it is the miracle of the Miracle Voices. We'll see where forgiveness plays. It is always playing, but we'll see where it does. It's something that's happened in the past couple of weeks, and I wanted to share it with you.
Yeah. And just for context, we're going to be taking a break for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks here in November. And we thought, what else, other ways could we, you know, connect with you? And Tam had something she wanted to share as she goes through COVID that were kind of epiphanies, and thought, why don't we just hit the record button and let you have an opportunity to speak about these so we could hear. So with that, Tam, why don't you...
Here we go. Remember, I do have like COVID brain. Is it even called COVID now? I'm so confused about it went to Omicron, like all of the letters, numbers, whatever it is that I have.
I'm partial to Omicron because it sounds like a villain from like a sci-fi movie.
Well, then there's the RSV that's come in, you know, which apparently I have had as well. But in any case, I'll just start weaving the amazingness of the past couple of weeks that would look on the outside like hell, but it's really been quite extraordinary. So after a year of my mother's passing, we've had her unit up for sale and no one has purchased it. And, you know, it was even when it was in a high selling market in this area, this double unit was not going. It was in a retirement home. And it had all of these different quirks to it. It was a double unit, and most people who come to this retirement community, they either want to downsize to a single unit because their partner's passed and they're simplifying, or if they come in with a partner, they want a villa, and the villa is much more expensive. And so there's just a few double units that my mother and with my stepfather, chose after visiting the place for 13 years, they finally decided that they were old enough and they wanted this type of retirement place. And then when my mother passed, it was time to let it go, but no one wanted it. And it was a gorgeous, peaceful unit on the ground floor. And I thought that was a good thing because the elderly didn't have to take elevators, but no, they felt too vulnerable. They didn't want to be on the ground floor, and they didn't want the double unit, and they wanted the villa, or they wanted the single, you know, all of it were different reasons for them to not choose this unit that was everyone agreed. It was beautiful. The realtors didn't even want me to stage it differently because it was so beautiful. But it stayed. And we were still using it as the office that it also was, as a meeting place. And when people would come in, you know, the entertaining place for the foundation. And finally, you know, there were five children wanting it sold, and my brother and me. And finally, it was time. And all I can say is it was time. we could not keep it and maintain it anymore financially at all. So just when it kind of reached our limit, a buyer came. And the buyer offered much less, even though what my mother paid for it 5 years ago, which was kind of unheard of. But we just said, we got to get out of this. So fine. But suddenly, from the moment it was sold, it needed to be cleared because it hadn't been staged and nothing had been cleared out. So there were mounds and mounds of things. And I should say mountains because it was like moving a mountain. I had to switch gears completely, and things needed to be given away to different people, to Witt's 5 kids and what went to that, and to my brother and to different family members. And there was stuff of my mother's, my grandmother's, my great grandmother's, pictures of all of our relatives and ancestors all over the walls. And then there were storage bins to go through that my mother had furniture there. So it was an enormous job of each time I felt I cleared, more stuff came in. And it was, I was doing this with sleeping maybe 2 to 3 hours a night for almost a month because it had a deadline. And so it was an enormous job. And I kept thinking amidst it, what are we going to do with the foundation office? You know, it was always my mom's. And so I had this great idea and epiphany that I wanted to have an office for the foundation on a houseboat in Sausalito. And they're all now very expensive and didn't even have funds. But I thought if it's supposed to be, it will happen. And there was one that I particularly found that seemed like it would be perfect. And just as we were looking into it, the person who owned it with her sister, the sister died completely unexpectedly. And I thought, and so they took it off and it wasn't available. And I thought, huh, well, so much for the easy move from one place into somewhere else. And it wasn't happening. And now I had to get rid of the furniture that I thought I could put in an office. And it seemed so difficult, but I was so in the chaos of the move that I didn't even have time to even check my own feelings about how difficult it was seeming, because I was doing and I was doing and I was doing. And finally, even the movers kept changing the move date. So there was one move where things were going to my house, some of the stuff, and there was another move where they were going to storage unit, and there was another move where they were going to auction house. And I was expecting the move to my house to be in a week, and they changed it to the next day. And so it was crazy. A couch came into my house that I couldn't even fit in my house that when it came, and it didn't even go to where it needed to go to. So everything was chaotic. And I was doing my lessons throughout, and I was doing our podcast throughout, and my work throughout. And it was bedlam in a certain way. And I just kept doing my practice of the service. I'm in service to this. And I had been caregiving for 6.5, close to 7 years, each of my parents. My contract and commitment to myself was to take care of each parent, my father, stepmother, stepfather, and mother, until they passed, and to be present with each one as they passed. Now, my stepfather was a very private person, and he chose to do that differently, but I was very much into caregiving him and taking care of him in the move that he went into this retirement home with my mother, where we both knew, he and I knew, that he was moving there to get her settled because he was going to be leaving. And that's a story unto itself of how powerful that was. But she ended up feeling very safe in this place. And so now it was the time to complete. My father passed in New York, and just distributed his stuff from afar. And it was time to complete something for me that had been to really close to 7 full years of my life devoted to caregiving my parents and seeing them through to another place, and really being as present and 100% guilt-free as possible. And it became possible. And I was in their passing. And now here were the last things of their belongings that I was finishing up with. So it was so quick that a lot of the stuff got moved to my house so I could sort through it later. And there were boxes everywhere, and it was approaching Halloween, and my house became like a Halloween hay maze that, you know, you have to walk through because there were boxes that were high everywhere. And luckily I knew my way, you know, from the bedroom to kitchen, or I would have been lost in the hay maze of boxes. But in this, it was getting more and more stressful because I wasn't sleeping much. I wasn't caring for my body, and I was doing this. And towards a week ago Sunday, our Russian translator, who is 87 years old, who had moved to this retirement community because of my mother, got sick. And she got a terrible cold, and we thought she had, you know, the flu. And she talked to her doctor, who said that she had this horrible cold, and it could have been the RSV, and she was feeling sick, and she was also throwing up. And I asked her if it was COVID, and she said that no, it was cold, but she needed help. So amidst the move and everything else, because she was in the same community, I brought her food, and I brought her pharmaceuticals that she needed, and she was throwing up, so I brought her things that she could digest and keep down. And I went in with the mask, and she was coughing all over me, and I mean, absolutely all over me. And the short of it is 2 days later was the big move where everything was leaving the apartment except for some dribbles of stuff. And I was, you know, there orchestrating everything. And at the end of the day, I felt like, uh-oh, I think I caught, you know, this Kira's cold. And I thought, oh, the last little dribbles I do tomorrow. And I went home and I felt horrible, and I tested, and sure enough, I had whatever this version of COVID is called. I tested positive. So I called her, and I had also, you know, we were going back and forth where she go to the ER. She went to the ER. They said there was nothing they could do. She just had a bad cold. And I called her and I said, you know, I just tested for COVID and it was positive. I left you a test. Can you please take it? You're in a retirement community. Important to know what you have. And she took it, and sure enough, she had COVID. And there was every opportunity to be blamey. Like, I always laugh when someone says, you know, I got a cold. Who did you get it from? Who can we blame? Who can we point? And COVID is like that as well. Like, who did you get it from? Where did you get it? And it was, and she was apologizing profusely. And I felt like, this is interesting. This is the last day of the move. I still needed about 6 hours more of stuff to do the next day, but I couldn't. And I started throwing up for the next 2 days, just throwing up. And honestly, as I was throwing up and feeling miserable, I felt like I was purging. Like there was a, you know, I've never been anorexic or bulimic or anything like that, but it felt like it was a release in my body of all this that I had been doing. And my body was getting rid of stuff, and it was not fun. It, you know, it was, it's one of the things I hate the most on this planet in illusion is nausea, but it does have a function. And so I spent a couple of days just doing my lessons, you know, and really fun to say I'm not a body when I'm throwing up. And it was more like the Bill's version of my, you know, I am a body. I am sickly. Get me to a doctor quickly. I was so in it that I wasn't evaluating it. And then I got a fever, and I got a high fever of 102, and I was sick. But there's an experience of having a fever that I've always kind of liked. It's a little altered state.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're warm, you're flush, everything's a little off. And I can't explain that. I don't hate that. And hate's a very strong word for any of this, but I can tolerate anything. And especially when the nausea subsided, it's like, oh, everything is gravy now, you know, as long as the nausea is gone. And I was given Paxlovid, which is supposed to help you make everything much quicker, but I couldn't hold it down. like seconds after I would try and take it, I would throw it up. And then when I and you can only take it in the first few days for it to be effective. But then when I found out, you know, that one of its side effects could be nausea, I was like, nope, nope, nope. I'll have fever. I'll have anything else. It's fine. And poor Kira, because the doctor just said she had a cold, she couldn't take any medication because it was too long by the time she found out. And she really suffered through and is just finally in some form of recovery around it. But in any case, one of the biggest things that was in my mind that was disturbing to me is, where is the foundation office going to be? And what am I going to do? And it, in my mind, you know, as they say, I wanted a houseboat because I wanted people who came in from all over the world, our translators and publishers. I wanted to be able to do what my mother has always done, which is host them. And she rarely had them stay in her house, but she always had a separate unit. And at the retirement community, there was actually like a little hotel room, the equivalent of a hotel room there, where she could put people up and then they could come over and she could host them. And I felt like I didn't want to do that immediately in my house, but that feeling I wanted to continue because it was always so welcoming and people would come to the Bay Area and really be welcomed in the spirit of love that the course is. And so I finally on Saturday kind of get up and I'm hobbling around and I walk through my hallway, and my hallway is long and narrow. And on the walls are pictures of family pictures, which we each, and my mother, my brother, cousins, and I, we have this hallway of fame of our family. But now I had about 50 or 60 other frame pictures that were all on the floor lining both walls that are my mother's that I have to sort through. And some are duplicates that I already had on the wall. But it was like walking through suddenly, because I'm sick and I have the fever, like that I was in a mausoleum. And I couldn't go out because I had COVID. No one could come in. And I was trapped with these ancestors. And it was such an interesting feeling. And at the end of the hallway, there's a door that was a spare bedroom that used to be my son's that I didn't realize it consciously. But during the move, as all the boxes were coming in, I put a lot into this room, but less boxes than things. So I walked into this room, and what ended up being in this room, as I looked around, it's like some entities came in and prepared this room in a way that startled me. Because I got into the room and the energy was just so strong that I immediately had to sit down on this little couch that ended up in there, which was a couch that was in my mom's office for years and years. It was a little floral couch that she loved. And she and Wit and I used to squish on it. It's really a two-person at most. And we used to squish on it together when we'd be talking about things that were upsetting or wonderful. And they would sandwich me in between them. And we'd all hold hands and we'd do lessons on this little squishy couch. So it was sitting against the wall, and above it, leaning on the wall, not hung up, was my mother's enormous portrait in blue that I always loved of hers. And I couldn't wait to take it out of this ornate frame. But there it was sitting against the wall, looking absolutely perfect. Like, oh, that's where it should be. That's amazing. I don't need to take it out of the frame that the painter himself made for her. And then in the corner of the room, my friend had been moving and our board member at the same time. And she unloaded a lot of her belongings here as well at the same time. And there was a bookshelf in the corner that, just to keep them safe, I put all the copies of the translations of the course on this bookshelf. And kind of, I would say accidentally, it wasn't on purpose, it was just to keep it safe, on top was a big frame picture of Wit, my stepdad, who was in charge of all of the translations. So I looked at it up there and I started to laugh, like he was just above all the translations. And then on the other wall was Bill Thetford's typewriter that he typed A Course in Miracles on. And it's under, I have it under plexiglass, and I want to put it in our archival museum that I would like to have someday, maybe on a houseboat. But there it was in the side of the wall. And then there was all these pictures of my mother and Helen and Bill and Ken and the Course family, and then different artifacts. And then on the floor were my mother and Witt's ashes in an urn, and we're going back to inurn them in December. But there were their ashes in this Chinese urn and this rug. And I gasped because I looked around and all I kept hearing was, "We are here. We are here. We are here." And I felt the presence so strongly that this, all these little artifacts and everything, was the core of the history, the physical history of A Course in Miracles. And Bill's notes and my mother's notes and the book that she used to practice the course and Witt's book that he used, you know, and I just, you know, there was a weeping and I thought, what? I said, what would you have me know? And I kept hearing, "We are here." And I felt it. And I said, and then I started to get it. It's like, this is the office right now. They regrouped. It regrouped from my mother's home to in this room. And it was so strong. I was like, oh, this is my office right now. Okay. And I said, but I really want a, you know, a bigger, a place to entertain. And then I just heard them all laughing. And I was like, what's so funny? I know I'm a little sick here and not such a clear channel, but what's so funny? And I got shown, is the only way I can describe it, my room downstairs. And I have a room under a garage that a tenant's been living in for 20 years. And he, 8 months ago, his mother started to pass. His father, he was helping his father go, and then his mother, just what I had been doing. And so he hasn't been here in now 9 months. And I stopped asking him for rent, except for a little deposit on the room, because it was, I couldn't, because he was doing such holy work and needed the support. But it just became apparent, oh, that's the room that it's its own unit for visitors. And for the foundation, for visitors for now, not to say that there won't be another place or a houseboat or whatever at another time, but all the things in my living room and dining room were my mother's dishes, glasses, things that she used to entertain. And the only thing that's missing is the foundation table. And it is a table that went with everybody sitting on it for years that my dining room cannot accommodate. But I started to look at it going, maybe I should expand the dining room a little. But it made itself. It really made itself. And I was, I felt, instead of trapped in a mausoleum, I felt this holiness here that was so strong. And amidst this next part of this story is throughout all of this that I was doing, we're trying to think of a holiday celebration. So I have a webinar that was a holiday celebration, and I knew I wanted it to be music. We've had Native Point on before, and you know, we've had singers like Cindy Renard and all sorts of people. But I just didn't know exactly what. But the person who kept coming to mind was, excuse me, was Jimmy. And he is a course musician, and he's just an amazing person, but I hadn't talked to him in 3 years. And in that, you know, I had sent him some messages here and there, and I'm sitting in this little office space, and I'm in this place of complete reverence. And the phone rings, and it's Jimmy. And we start talking, and I said, you know, how would you feel about doing this? And he said, oh, I would love it. And I'll bring the musicians. And, you know, it was all already done. It was like, I felt like it was in the room and they were orchestrating the celebration. And it's like, that's fantastic. Okay, great. Can you do it by next week? Because we want to pre-record this because people are all going to be busy in different places at the holidays. And he said, I can do it by next week. And it was so effortless because the person who's in charge of webinars basically said, because I couldn't get it together, that we were going to let it go. And we're either going to try and figure out something live or, you know, if it worked out at that point, but she let it go. And it was like, oh no, it wasn't supposed to be let go. Here it is. So it started to flow so much. And our person who was, doing the webinar is much more buttoned up than I, and very, very fantastically professional. And I'm much more fluid and loose and can drive anyone crazy in that way. And she was saying, well, what's the title and what's it going to be? And I say, I'll know after we record in a week. And she said, well, is it about bringing in, you know, I can hear it's about bringing in the, you know, closing chapters and finishing this year and bringing in next year. And I said, no, the course doesn't talk in terms of time that way. I mean, we can ring in the new year for sure, but it's not about that. It's about a joyous celebration with singers and musicians. And then it just literally came through me. I said, it's called bringing in the voice, with the voice being a capital B. And that is always what Helen, my experience of Helen. Now, once in front of me, did she ever say Jesus? She said the voice. The voice told me this. The voice told me that. And it was like bringing in the voice. And then I, again, kind of gasped, because what was coming through was, oh, and I know what this is now. And we're going to start with Helen's download. We have a clip of Helen, the only thing we ever thought we had recorded of Helen, speaking about the voice and about what she heard and how it was a download more than words. And it's on our site. People can hear it. And it's, I thought, oh, we're going to start with that. And then we'll talk with the musicians about how, in course terms, they step away so the voice can come through clearly. And then I realized on the day of at the anniversary of my mother's transition, which was just on October 19th, I had our last staff meeting at her home, and the staff that was here. And on that day, three things in life were missing. One were some interviews that I had done years ago with Bob Scutch, and they were missing. And my mother and I looked everywhere for them and never found them. And another thing was a play that I wrote in my early 20s that I threw out when my father said was horrible. And that was the end of that. It wasn't missing. It was just gone. And that day, Bob Scutch interviews showed up. I went to the storage unit, and there they were. And actually, not true. I mean, my coworkers found this box and found them, the missing box. But that's when they showed up. And also this play that I wrote, my mother ended up having a copy, and she had saved it all these years. And there it was. And the third was, amidst some stuff that was a box of mine, I found the CDs, and they were entitled Helen Singing. I was like, what is this? And I had our coworker bring her CD player, and we played it, and it was Helen singing in rounds with her cousins, and with actually Louie's cousins, her husband's cousins, but they were their closest social friends. And I suddenly heard, we start with Helen talking about the voice. We all together, talk about getting out, you know, away from allowing our own egos, away from allowing the voice to come through, and the musicians singing their songs. And we end it with never before heard audio of Helen singing this beautiful Czechoslovakian folk song in a round. And this was getting away from my own ego. Like I sat there after I hung up and I realized this was all planned. I would not, without COVID, my mother, her energy, whether it lives in me or it lives amidst all of us, made me stop. I had to go to Kira to get COVID. I had to get so sick that I not only got COVID, I also got the stomach flu with it. To stop me, I was going nonstop and not taking care of myself, to stop me absolutely in all my footsteps so that I could see what was here. And what was here was an office for the foundation already set up in the funniest way. It was already set up. And I could see this celebration for this time for me transitioning out of this, even though that's not what the celebration is for just pure coarse joy. And I could feel the support of everyone before me, my ancestors in the hallway, that the everyone that came to this tradition, even picture of Jerry Jampolsky in here, and you know, just that this room was vibrant with this, and that all of this was planned for while I was too busy to notice. And it hit so strongly. And the last piece of this was when my mother passed, apparently she had written on her computer some songs that she wanted me to play as she was passing. And I didn't see this till later. And I know she probably told me about it a million times, but it didn't register. And what happened was when she was lying there and she was for several hours on her way out, songs got channeled in. And some, they were pure love songs. And I've talked about this elsewhere, and I don't need to go into it, except to say that one song came through that completely surprised me. And my stepsister was there, and she was holding my mother's feet, and I had my mother's head and body in my arms. And I started to sing this song, and she looked at me like, What are you singing that for? And I looked at her and shrugged because it was coming out of me. Like, I don't know. But it was If I Had a Hammer, the song If I Had a Hammer. And I had no idea why I would possibly sing that song. And the next day, I realized that it was about her work ethic. And she worked on the day she died. It was about her work ethic. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening. I'd hammer at love. I'd hammer the love between my brothers and my sisters all over the land. If I had a bell to ring, I'd do the same. You know, everything that comes in that song is about rejoicing about the love between my brothers and sisters all over this land. And that was my mother's path till the moment she transitioned. So within this move, and I just put this together and you'll get it early. The one thing I did was I had my stepfather Witt's hammer. I had his toolbox and I had his hammer and I was using it incessantly. And I put it with my personal belongings so that no movers would take it. Sure enough, somehow the movers needed a hammer. Someone took it, they used it, and it was gone. And I noticed at the end of the day, and it was the first thing I asked for someone who was in charge of the movers too, like who was the liaison. And I said, can you please have them return the hammer? It was meaningful to me. And, you know, I was told, oh, they left it on the windowsill ledge. Well, they didn't. It wasn't there. It wasn't anywhere. I couldn't find it anywhere. And on Halloween Eve, because the next morning the unit was going to be handed over to the new owner, which I found very funny that the day of the culmination of all my physical work with all my parents was the next morning, which was Day of the Dead, to just celebrate the whole thing and put up a happy little bow on it. But Halloween Eve, which is always one of my favorite holidays, I had to go there with COVID and masked to make sure that everything was out of the place. And even though people had gone through it and assured me that it was, and you know, my partner and one of our coworkers also helped clear out those last 6 hours of little things here and there that I didn't get, I went through the place and I found still a lot of things that no one had seen, and including a vacuum cleaner. And I realized I needed the hammer because there were still some hooks on the walls. And I didn't have the hammer, and I ended up being tenacious and stepping on things to climb up and use my keys to take the hooks out. And I was going, where did that hammer go? And it made me laugh so hard when I realized if I had a hammer, it came full circle to the song of, I felt like they were laughing with me. I felt like, okay, those guys got the hammer. You know, the hammer's now in some other spirit like, hammering the love between our brothers and sisters, but the hammer is like in my being now. And it was this extraordinary kind of full circle ending in many revolutions of circles to this next step, and this next step for the foundation, this next step of hosting, but they're all here. And that's all I keep getting. You know, they're all here in so many ways and forms. And to bring it to forgiveness, there's, you know, we could make connections in many ways why this would be a forgiveness story. For me, I didn't want to have a foundation for inner peace. You know, I didn't want to work for it originally. It kept getting me and I kept hearing the service. I did want to take care of my parents. I never expected the foundation office to land in my home for however long it does. But to get it was so much love and no attitude, and the joy and the gratitude and the, you know, we're not supposed to use the word awe with a course. But I have to say in ego form, my awe for what is spirit that shines through amidst COVID, amidst an enormous difficult move, amidst taking care of Russian translator during it and going out and getting her things, amidst my own isolation because I'm, you know, kind of isolated for a couple of weeks in a home until I test negative. It's the only time in my life I've wanted to test negative for something or be negative, you know? But the forgiveness of myself for thinking things had to go a certain way. And I think that's the biggest for me is I see things, you know, I have still have some intuitive abilities, so I can see things that are about to happen in a lot of ways, but that takes me out of the present and allowing for things to happen any way that spirit wants, and they're going to anyway. So just being that busy to be in the present, to not see what was coming, and what was coming was this incredible surprise full of love and laughter while I'm sick. And I just keep welcoming the sickness, if you want to call it that, the process of what my body's clearing and going through, the same way as my mother looked at me and said, as she was screaming in pain at the end of her day, pay no attention to my body. It is doing what it has to do to get me out of here. I've never been so peaceful in my life. And truly, that's what I feel right now.
Oh, that was great. That was great, Tam. I know exactly what you mean, too, about the fever. It's not like you like it so much, but it puts you a little bit in an altered state. The ego's not screwed in quite so tight, and yeah. You can kind of... you got that wiggle room to kind of see things a little differently there.
Yeah.
To put the hammer down and to stop hammering away.
Let go of the, I mean, it was so funny because here there were all sorts of valuables in the apartment, including, you know, the diamond pin, this and that. And all I cared about was where'd the hammer go, you know? And it wasn't even an accusation, except that they said, absolutely, we left it on, you know, we knew it wasn't ours and left it on the windowsill. And then it was like, maybe the cleaning crew took it. And like, just my following the hammer of all things. And if, you know, as always, the joke was on me, put down the hammer. And if you're going to use a hammer, it's only for one thing. You know, so yeah, there were so many different symbols, and I just gave you the highlights, but there were so many small details that were amazing, even with the body having a really hard time.
I think it's great for everybody to hear, you know, kind of the behind the scenes of what's going on, and also all the little details and connections between, you know, the Bill's typewriter that sounds so cool, and, you know, Helen singing. All these little tidbits are so nice to get and get context and color from, and just to see how you deal with life on life's terms.
Yeah, it's a journey. It's a journey, especially when there's something this, I would say, alive, strong, this energy that we work with through the course. You know, it really has its own flavor, and it knows what it wants. And, you know, that's why at the foundation, we can't make any decision without asking for guidance. It is not up to us, including who gets hired, who leaves when their time is right for them to leave. You know, it's just all orchestrated. And it's whether we're in the flow of it or we're fighting the flow. But I'm appreciating it more and more and more and more.
Yeah. So. I love that. It also takes a lot of all the responsibility off you, really. It's just like you're co-pilot, and you're just asking, you know, Holy Spirit for the voice for guidance, right?
Yes, very much so. Although I will always say, just because of, as I've said before about my youth, and seeing people not take accountability for their actions. Yes, responsibility for the ultimate of what's going on. Yes, but that doesn't mean that I shouldn't try and be kind throughout.
Right, right.
But it's not about, okay, you know, they want this, so screw everyone else. You know, it's not that.
Yeah.
There's accountability in how we walk the walk.
Yeah.
But responsibility, no, this stuff is not up to me.
Well, that was a delightful little journey. I'm sorry you're still in COVID mode, but it's definitely, there's a silver lining there. And it sounds like you're getting a little bit better day by day.
I am. And the truth of the matter also is I have not been home in a few years. I've been going back to my mother's, and then I have a relationship that I have to, you know, balance, not have to, but want to balance within all the caregiving. And I haven't been home. And it felt very much like a moment of the Wizard of Oz when I sat down and I went, oh my God, and I'm hearing, we are here, we are here. And I'm thinking, oh, there's no place like home. Here it is. And you were in my dream, and you were in my dream. And you know, you, Bill Thetford, were in my dream, and you're right here.
Oh, so, that's great. That's great.
Funny. So thank you for listening, Matt.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, Tam. And as we mentioned, there's going to be a little bit of a 2 or 3 week pause in the November timeframe through Thanksgiving as we get through some stuff here. But we will pick back up with the podcast in December and look forward to chatting with you more then, Tam.
Okay, great. Hey, I have a name for the episode.
Okay, let's hear it.
I had a hammer.
You got it. I had a hammer. Let's go with that.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks, Tam.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today. Please subscribe to Miracle Voices by hitting the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you are enjoying these conversations, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you use. And lastly, please visit us at miraclevoices.org and join our newsletter so we can stay connected. Until the next podcast, I want to leave you with my favorite course quote,
When you want only love, you will see nothing else.